Robin McCarron.
Maybe Rob's just getting a little Twitter happy with polls. Maybe.
Jeff Hawkins.
Rob likes his polls.
I do. I like the polls. I'm a big poll fan. I mean, as many polls as I can get in me, I will take them.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Instead of a quote, information for life. Want to keep cooler in the summer? Make sure your ceiling fan is rotating counterclockwise. For some reason, I've lived most of my life not knowing this. This week, Raw is the debut of Heel Cass with some Roman and Joe sass. SmackDown is Mojo.
Hold on a second. Are you popping over that initial quote still? Like, did you pop yourself? We're doing life tips now at the start of the show about ceiling fans and rotating cooling fans.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I popped myself a bit, maybe. I don't is know. That, I learned. I like learning things, Rob. And oh, wrestling okay, doesn't no, give me that, that notion.
That's fine. But how do you come to know that? Like, if the best way is for the fan to rotate counterclockwise, did you buy a fan that was not rotating that way?
I have two ceiling fans in my apartment.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I was wondering, why is the air conditioning never really all that effective despite these fans blowing? So I Googled, which way should the fan blow?
Man.
And for heat, you do it clockwise. For cooling, you do it counterclockwise.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know there would be a difference or how that would make a difference. So had your fans been going the wrong way? Like, do your ceiling fans, can they go both directions?
Yes, there's a switch on them where you turn it the other direction. If you turn it counterclockwise, the air blows down. When it goes clockwise, the air goes up.
My God.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable news.
And there's some guy who took physics in like high school that goes, I knew that. I was like, yeah, okay, great. I was a liberal arts major. Suck it.
I mean, this is brand new information. What other brand new information? What other life tips do you have for us? Am I putting you on blast here? Like you gave us one really good one. Everyone's going to go check their fans. Is right. there anything that you've come across in the last couple of years that you were like, how did I not know that?
The pronunciation of banal. I used to pronounce it incorrectly, but other than that, I mean,
did you pronounce it?
Banal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just was like, I don't use that upper crust language all the time. So it's one of those things where it's like, what? I should come off like a hillbilly probably in most ways. No, I learn by doing. And a lot of times I try and do minor home repairs. It's like, oh, that's how that works. Okay, great. I'm learning things. Like I learned how to drywall on my own, which is.
That's a good skill.
Yeah.
I've Googled that before. I have tried to do YouTube search for different many different ways, like how do you drywall? What type of insulation should you get? Like I'm trying to know how to do things now. It's a good thing. Like I'm in my 30s. I should know how to do stuff.
Yeah, that's what I fear. And my dad was a handyman and he was like a HVAC tech or a facilities technician for like hospitals and stuff. So I'm like, I can rewire this thermostat on my own. Sometimes it works, sometimes it does.
I don't know if I would trust the rewiring of things on your own.
You know what really helps?
Here
you go. Because okay. I used to try and remember or I used to try and write down things.
Uh-huh.
You have a camera on your phone. Take a photo of it before you screw it up.
Yeah.
There's information for life.
Okay. Take a photo. There's a lot of mm-hmm. forums. You know, photos are good. They're very helpful. Take good detailed photos of things. I guess that would be the most important thing. What else in your intro? I cut your intro off.
I said, okay, Mojo is a great wrestling actor. Fandango has a horse named Tully and the worst written division in WWE and Wither Page.
No. Let's set the expectation here. We will not be discussing Paige.
You had it on the rundown sent me.
No, I did not. No, I
you
did not.
Did.
Check the text again. What did I have in the rundown, sir? What did I have in the rundown? The Del Rio suspension. That's right. That's right. Del Rio. Listen.
Your big ticky-tack.
Okay. Well, no, not ticky-tack. And I will say, you are absolutely correct. Mojo, great wrestling actor. We'll get into that. Let's start here.
Can I finish my intro?
Nope. It's officially done. It is officially done. Let's start right here. All right, Alberto Del Rio, the former Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, has been suspended by Global Force Wrestling TNA Impact Wrestling, okay? He has been suspended for investigating. There are pending investigations. There's a lot of hoopla. There's a lot of worry, a lot of concern over the last week about the domestic situation between Alberto Del Rio and his fiance, former, I guess, current WWE superstar Paige.
Fiance.
A lot of concerns. Accusations back and forth in the media. A lot of eyewitness reports. What seems to be a troubling and sad situation. And I don't want to focus on the situation itself. Okay. Because we don't know. We don't obviously don't know all the facts. And Paige came out today.
It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, what is he suspended for? Right, so I assumed wanted to talk about it. That's my fault.
Not so much the suspension, because here's the thing. Not everyone knows all what's going on. You had Paige out there today defending Alberto, and it obviously seems like a volatile situation. And the only thing coming from my perspective here is I hope that both people find happiness, and it sounds like they're going to find happiness elsewhere from each other, because right now it's just trouble and worry from all different angles. You hope Paige has a wonderful life. You hope Alberto has a wonderful life. If the best way to do that is for them to be apart from each other, hopefully both of them find a way to be apart from each other. If the best thing in their life is going to be together, then make it work and be together. But that's not what I wanted to focus on. We have the suspension now. TNA is suspending him for just the news being out there, the incidents that have happened. The question is it an empty suspension? Global Force Wrestling just taped a whole month and a half, 2 months worth of television where Alberto Del Rio appeared. They don't run house shows. They don't have a pay-per-view coming up. It would be a month and a half before he even works for them again, by which time any suspension, maybe they're just hoping all this blows over in any direction, because it's a month and a half from now where he would actually work for them again. Was this an empty suspension from GFW?
Yes, because you are innocent until proven guilty. They're going to suspend him, and then they're going to see if it blows over. If it doesn't, they strip him of the title, and you have World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Jarrett. they can always just tape something, or they can just say that they've stripped him, or they could actually just be truthful and go, "Hey, look, we've suspended him. We have these shows that have been taped since." I mean, they don't need to have the veneer that they're running actually live from week to week. You don't have to do that in wrestling. God knows they didn't do that a lot during the territory era. So it's not a must that it's, ooh, this is live and fresh from week to week, and this is happening in real time. They can always just come up and go, look, we've suspended him, or they can edit out his segments. They have plenty of options.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that, though. I don't think they're going to edit out the segments. That's what I'm worried about. I they suspend him. They announce he's suspended, but that's a suspension from working in real life. Right. Like we don't have anything. That's why I feel like this is almost an empty gesture, because a month and a half from now, it's probably going to be settled. Either this is not in the news anymore, either they're no longer together, or they are married. You know, who knows? Or they are.
Of course it is.
They're happy together. It's an empty gesture.
Yes, because what they're trying to do is get ahead of the optics. You get ahead of the optics by suspending him and then later apologizing. But if you don't suspend him, then you get the, why haven't they done anything? He's been accused of this terrible thing. They should really do something. How can they have a man like this? And the instances chatter, you act now, you get ahead of the scandal, and then you see what happens.
He's right now, Alberto Del Rio is being investigated over an incident Sunday in Orlando involving Paige. They have audio up at TMZ about what may have been going on there. But GFW didn't really, I mean, they say the suspension is effective immediately, but again, I don't think they're going to remove him from TV. It's just like, you're not going to work for us right now until something else happens because of this. And maybe something else happens. Maybe there's an arrest. I mean, maybe other things happen. But right now it just seems like, okay, we'll do something. And yeah, maybe they are in a tough spot because if they don't do anything, yeah, it looks bad. But right now it's not like what they're doing looks great. I mean, we're suspending him from no work.
But it's, you know, it doesn't have to look great. It's not an admission of guilt to suspend a guy while he's under investigation or while they clear out the thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Do you feel bad at all for Jeff Jarrett or Anthem or for GFW? It's weird calling them that day, calling them right now.
Because they knew Del Rio came with baggage. They knew that he had these attitude problems, that he had these, you know, I mean, he smacked around a writer backstage, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that this has been known to happen.
But do you feel bad at all at this aspect that, okay, Global Force Wrestling, they rebrand TNA to Global Force Wrestling. The show now is Impact Wrestling. The promotion is Global Force Wrestling. But their first mainstream PR, their first mainstream press, really, is this Alberto Del Rio situation. Nothing positive. It's a negative story. Their first ever branding under the GFW. It hurts.
I have run out of pity for this company because of the whole Hogan thing. So, I mean, look, if you don't learn these mistakes, if you're just looking for names from the WWE to help prop up your product, I've run out of F's to give. How about that? I hope they do the best. I want every guy in there to make a ton of money. But if they're going to have the same structure, if they're going to be sports entertainment light and they're going to take out off the problem children off of Vince McMahon's hands, this is what they're going to get.
Is there a chance that Alberto Del Rio does not wrestle for GFW anymore?
There's a very good chance of that.
Really?
Yes.
So you're saying that GFW might be hiring a new world champion?
I don't think they'll hire one. I think they'll find one within.
Well, if they are looking to hire, Global Force Wrestling should give ZipRecruiter a try. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? It's at ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100+ job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike any other job site, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. They can find you a new world champion. If your world champion goes crazy and you need a new one, ZipRecruiter. So many candidates for being world champion. Jeff, do you want to be a world champion one day?
Yes.
Do you really? I expected a deadpan no. Instead, I got a deadpan yes. I guess that's what they say. Never, never, ever ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Yeah, that's the first rule of law school.
No juggling emails or calls to your office, everybody. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners here on Shake Them Ropes can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, you can try it right now free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/shake. That's ZipRecruiter.com/shake. One more time, try it free, ZipRecruiter.com/shake. Try it, everybody. Maybe Global Force Wrestling will try it as well, finding a new champion out there. And don't be hating on this, all right? Because they have recently, ever since Jeff Jarrett came back and Anthem came back, they've really just changed over their roster in a lot of ways.
Yes,
I mean, Alberto Del Rio's a new guy. They have been out there. They got the database of 100,000 names.
They've made quite a few good changes. They've had a few missteps here in terms of talent that was already there before the switchover, in my opinion. Like your Trevor Lees and Andrew Everett's are now like losing in matches, but you know, they're fine. I mean,
the new guys from a year ago are now the old guys.
Yeah, it's new toy syndrome. And look, they're trying. I give them that. Slammiversary got pretty darn good reviews from everything I heard. And hey, D'Angelo Williams may do something for them.
That was a big story. I'm surprised how little attention it got outside of wrestling, and honestly, how little attention it got in wrestling. This is a star running back. Like when Pac-Man Jones came into TNA wrestling, it was a huge deal.
D'Angelo Williams
is a star running back who has been a starter on the Pittsburgh Steelers within the last 2 years, both years when, right. And you know, when they had injuries and whatnot. This is a star running back, a history in the NFL, who jumped right into wrestling, and it seems like it got no mainstream attention at all.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Because Global Force Wrestling and TNA and Impact Wrestling and all that is so far below what they've ever been. Like they might have the best financial stability they ever had, but they're also the least popular they've ever been.
Okay, it doesn't run on ESPN because ESPN has a partnership with their main competitor.
I get you, but
and Fox Sports has a podcast dedicated to the WWE. Oh.
I don't think the podcast thing has anything to do with it.
But they have media working relationships.
It's an NFL star running back.
He's
not a superstar by any means.
Yeah, no, he's not a superstar, and that's why. And it's because he is a couple years off of his prime.
He's a few years off of the prime. But, I mean, man, this is a guy 2 years ago was starting games and was a...
I agree in theory.
He was a fantasy back.
It should have been a bigger story because... As opposed to the mainstream press that, say, a Lawrence Taylor got for his WrestleMania debut, mm-hmm. D'Angelo Williams looked great, I thought.
Oh, sure.
In what I saw. I mean, he looked competent. He looked better than Pac-Man Jones did, too. And Pac-Man Jones is on my team. So there you go.
Oh, you fantasy players.
He's a Cincinnati Bengal. I don't play fantasy football.
Oh, I'm not one of those. That's right. He's a Bengal.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Bengals. You see Corey Dillon? What is his
name? Fantasy sports. You guys, D&D for people who don't want to think of themselves as nerds.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, to complete the Global Force Wrestling trifecta, we might as well just get on this topic right now. Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy. A series of tweets from Matt Hardy's wife. Again, today, it seems like the Global Force Wrestling and Hardy's fight over the broken gimmick is not close to being over. Still going on, still troublesome. Jeff Jarrett claiming in a teleconference today that they own the broken Hardy's gimmick and they are not handing it over. The Hardy's saying that there was an agreement in place and now it's been broken up. This thing ain't ending anytime soon. It doesn't look
like. If there was an agreement, they took it off the table as soon as they started putting the branding on WWE television. I don't think there was an agreement. I think there might have been we'll consider it.
First of all, they haven't put the branding on WWE TV.
No, but you know what I'm saying. They made references to it without stepping over that line. And that would anger anybody that owns that intellectual property.
And let's get into that now, because I've tweeted, I've said on the show, I don't think the broken gimmick is ever coming to WWE. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, that's not what I'm commenting on. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, that's not what I'm commenting on. I'm just commenting on the fact, will the broken gimmick be in WWE? And I don't think it will. And after this Monday on Raw, a lot of people were tweeting at us, at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. A lot of people tweeting out, a lot of people talking about it. Oh, this is where the Hardys become broken. Oh, did you see that promo? The broken gimmick is coming. They're bringing it in. That promo on Monday, what I got from that was that's the end. The Hardys know the broken gimmick is never coming to WWE, and that's what they were telling you in that promo, is that they are never going to be the broken Hardys in WWE. Literally, like if you want to read literal things from a promo, and you probably shouldn't ever do that, but if you want to read literal things from that promo, he said, we might be a little bit stitched up, we might be a little bit battered, we might be a little bit broken, oh, a minor crowd pop, but we are not going anywhere. The Hardy Boys are not going anywhere. He was literally saying, we're the Hardy Boys. We're not the broken gimmick. We're not going to be the broken gimmick. The Hardy Boys are what's in WWE. I don't think we're seeing that promo. And when people ask me on Twitter, how confident do you feel now? It seems like it's coming in. I feel the most confident I've ever been.
Okay. Be confident. I think you're wrong. I don't think we're getting the broken gimmick. I think...
We discussed that on Sunday, right? We discussed that it may not be called Broken Matt Hardy, obviously, but they might be some form of that.
They're going to be called the Shattered Hardy.
I just don't think it's happening either.
A shatter machine.
Yeah, I took a whirlwind from that because on Sunday we agreed that that could happen. Like they could be the Shattered Hardy, so they could be some type of gimmick where, you know, they have a different feel. They have a different speaking style. Really, the key would be if Matt Hardy goes to that speaking style ever. Because to me, it's not the broken Matt Hardy name that is that gimmick. It's if Matt Hardy becomes outside of himself and he starts that speaking style he had in TNA. That's the gimmick. No matter what they call him, that's the gimmick. That gimmick, I don't think we're ever going to see. Matt and Jeff Hardy will speak how they normally speak as Matt and Jeff Hardy. I don't believe that gimmick's ever coming in, and I feel super confident about it. I went from agreeing with you on Sunday to seeing that promo to thinking on Tuesday, they are never going to not be the Hardy Boys in WWE. Even if they split off separately, they're never not going to be the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. It's going to be something that they can leave as intellectual property for WWE once they leave there. Because they can't do the pure broken gimmick in WWE without making a deal to license it, and they're never going to get it from Anthem. So, I mean, I think there's a character change coming here. That's all I'm ever confident in about this. There is a change coming in the character. I don't know how much of it is, but it will be there.
And the other issue is, how much of a shelf life do the Hardys have in WWE just because of the states of obviously their age, Matt Hardy's health. Like, do we really see them being in WWE for another 3 or 4 years to have time to create new gimmicks? Like, are they going to be in there long enough to not be the Hardy Boys? Because they could be the Hardy Boys for another year.
Yeah, there's another question you have. Does Vince see Jeff Hardy as having one more singles run?
And with the up and coming of Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and AJ Styles and other names that might be coming in from the NXT realm, I don't know if even if he thinks he could have another run, do you want to put the faith on Jeff Hardy, a 40-year-old Jeff Hardy, to have a singles run in WWE again?
Or at least to build him up enough to feed him to one of those guys to make it look like it.
Well, to be anything more than like Intercontinental Champion, are you going to put Jeff Hardy in the title picture?
Right.
Like, I don't think that's true. And we saw it with the Dudley Boys, kind of. The Dudley Boys came back. They did their nostalgia gimmick. They were the Dudley Boys for a year. And when the time came for Devon to get the agent job and for Bubba Ray to go as a single, they just released him. They didn't use him as a single. I see the same thing happening for Matt Hardy. I don't think they're going to, you know, change his dynamic so differently that he's going to be broken Matt Hardy, that he's going to basically be Gold Dust in WWE. Goldust has that gimmick already.
All right, I'll concede the point. I mean, I'm interested to see where they go with it, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be a full on gimmick.
Yeah, I don't think so either, and I don't think we're ever going to see the broken Matt Hardy. And I'm not trying to beat the dead horse here. I'm only mentioning on this week's show because I got, you know, they referenced it on Monday.
No,
but that
referencing
was them putting it past.
Yeah,
it was them putting it past them. I feel. And rightfully so, because I don't think the crowds everywhere are going to really react to it, even if he did it. I don't know if it would be as popular as some people think or remember it being. I mean, it didn't light TNA on fire. It was the most interesting thing happening in TNA, but it's not like it lit the territory up.
I got to step back into that argument, because I think you're looking at different standards for entertainment. I just think this is what the WWE audience kind of wants. They don't want great wrestling. They want that stuff. So it would be over huge. Do I know or think that it would lead to, you know, that kind of mainstream buzz that goes to ratings? Probably not. I think you'd probably get a lot of lapsed fans who checked in, who remember other skits that were like that, you know, would view it fondly. But do I look at it as a ratings juggernaut to drive the entire WWE business into more positive territory? No.
You say the WWE fans would be really into it and it would be over huge. I think it would be interesting the first time, and then Matt Hardy has a 10-minute singles match and it would be dead. It would be killed dead because Matt Hardy in
a
singles
match. That wouldn't be taking care of what brought you to the dance.
Because that's what WWE does. Everyone has 10-minute singles matches.
I just said that to you. I just said they don't care about great wrestling matches per se, except for the big pay-per-view.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think the WWE audience cares that you can provide entertainment in the ring. And that's why Braun Strowman is getting over how he is, because his matches haven't sucked.
Oh no. He's over because he's a big monster who kills people.
He is. He's over because he's a big monster who kills people, but his matches haven't been boring. Because kills a lot of the big guys in WWE? What killed Tensai? His matches were boring. What killed Heidenreich? His matches were boring. What killed Nathan Jones? His matches were boring. They were bad in the ring. Braun Strowman, now granted, he's gotten a lot of help. The Roman Reigns matches have been a lot of Roman Reigns, okay? And a lot of squashes here and there. But his matches have not sucked. He has not gone in there and laid an egg in the ring. Because if he did, I think the crowd would really respond negatively to him. And I don't trust Matt Hardy to go out there for a 12 to 15 minute singles match and do anything that's worthwhile.
Oh, I think you're dismissing that the fact that Tensai and Heidenreich's hooks absolutely sucked. I mean, I think
yeah, okay, that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All Braun was monster. That's all you needed. Monster that destroys crap. You had Tensai being this. I don't even want to go into it. It was so bad. Let's move on.
All right. At some point on this WWE podcast, we should probably talk about WWE.
Yes.
So let's talk about some New Japan G1 predictions, huh? I got Kota Ibushi. Who you got?
Daryl. Daryl and Yano in the finals, putting on a 6-star classic.
Who?
Daryl, the cat, the stuffed cat.
The hell are you talking about, son? Daryl, really? The stuffed cat.
Yes, you don't know who Daryl is? Part of Los Ingobernables?
Oh, Takahashi's cat?
Yes, yeah. Takahashi's cat.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be him and Yano.
Yeah, it's going to be him and Yano.
An 8-star knockdown classic.
Cody Rhodes, former WWE star. Let's keep this on WWE topics, huh? Yeah, this is a real stretch we got going on. Cody Rhodes is battling War Machine for the IWGP tag team titles on the last day of the G1. What do you think about that? Is Cody going to be a champion in New Japan one way or another?
Who's his partner?
Adam Page.
No.
Probably not. Probably not. Oh boy. What do you want to talk
about?
You
are really stalling to get into WWE. So I'll give you one more.
I'm not stalling. Go ahead.
Last week you read off Bola entrance.
I did.
I got my wish. I'm getting a South Pacific Power Trip match, I think, at Bola, because both members are in Bola.
There you go.
I am stoked. There you go.
Good for you, man. I'm all happy for you. Are you going to Bola?
I'm going to try and at least one night. If the South Pacific Power Trip are on there for one night, I'm going to that night. The tournament itself, I don't need all three. I don't need to be a completionist here, because I think the tickets are going to be like $100 for general admission or standing room and $150 for front row. And I'm like,
oh man, $150 is light. I think you're getting $60 per.
No, I meant $150 per show.
Oh my God. Is that what they were last year?
They were 175 for the tiers. Yeah, it would cost you $300 for the front row for all three shows.
That
last year.
Yeah, because last year they were 80, right? I don't know. I don't remember what they were.
Well,
60. I thought they were 60 last year. I thought they were 60 last year.
No, that was 2 years
ago. That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy. All right, but hey, if you're gonna go, I guess you got to go. I mean, right, I'll watch Bola. I'm gonna watch Bola in August. It's called NXT Takeover Brooklyn.
Here is my big, hot, steaming take from this week in WWE. The SmackDown Women's Division is the worst division of any show on WWE.
They don't know what the hell to do with them. I mean, another 5-way elimination match.
Dear God, another, I was let's just so put, angry at this.
We got.
I was.
Oh, who's Naomi wrestling for the title?
That is who they're determining, because they are doing a 5-way elimination number one contenders match, because they don't know how to write simple one-on-one feuds with these. These women could go into a room and write their own division better than these people write their division.
This is literally what the match was, if I'm not mistaken, 2 pay-per-views ago, right? Before Money in the Bank. It was these 5. Maybe not Lana. Lana wasn't in it because she was the challenger for Naomi. Carmella was in it.
That that was not an elimination. That was a...
Just a fatal five-way?
Yes.
All right.
No, what it was, like a six-woman tag team or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
There was some... Yeah, it was the Charlotte. And, yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
All women have to be in all segments at all times because they don't want to write or grow this division.
They don't. I mean, you got Charlotte in these multi-woman matches, and at least this one's for a title shot. We have the same problem that we had just a couple of pay-per-views ago. Naomi possibly not being, it was a Money in the Bank. Like, we were wondering, will Naomi actually be in a match? And then they brought in Lana. Here we are. Lana's in the five-way now. Carmella is not. Is Carmella going to wrestle at Battleground? Is Carmella going to wrestle Naomi? And who is Naomi going to wrestle? Because you have Tamina and Lana both in that five-way elimination match. Who's left? Mm-hmm. Who's left on the SmackDown side?
Let's see. You have it's five people. It's Becky, Charlotte, Lana, Tamina, and Natty.
Yeah, if Carmella's not in this match somewhere, I don't know who you put in there.
Oh, Carmella's going to be on commentary. I guarantee you she's going to be on commentary somehow.
Yeah. So hopefully Naomi gets a match. I mean, hopefully she defends the championship against someone. I don't know who it would be. Right now for Battleground.
Wrote off Alicia Fox on 205.
Yeah, it seems like.
Although Chris Novembrino with the Mutes, brilliant observation. He of Lucha of the Hidden Temple podcast on Voices. He said, you know, Alicia Fox is basically the mid-card title on 205. And right. I just went, that's absolutely brilliant.
AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. AJ defends the U.S. title. You got Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin. You have the fatal five-way elimination match on for the number one contendership to the WWE SmackDown Women's title. John Cena and Rusev in a flag match just out of nowhere. The Usos versus The New Day. And Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton in the Punjabi prison match. So still a spot for one or two matches there. A Naomi title match. Something with Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, maybe. You got Fandango, you have the Fashion Police, you have Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder. It seems like that tag team is destined to break up very, very soon. This Kurt Angle gimmick.
Ah, good. I'm glad you got into this.
He closed Raw by speaking to someone on the telephone. Corey Graves has been all up in Kurt Angle's business. And seemingly, Kurt Angle now has to face the music. And he was on the phone. He is calling someone, telling them he loves them. And to be at Raw next week in Nashville, because they have to face the WWE. And they'll take whatever repercussions come from whatever they end up doing. My question to you, Jeff, and don't get this answer wrong. Who is Kurt Angle bringing to Raw on Monday?
I have no idea. That's my answer, because I'm thinking either illegitimate child or person he was sleeping with to get there. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're going to pull that crap.
You have, it's just weird because it's not like they're hyping it up huge. I mean, this was the last little final minute of Raw. Like, if you had flipped off the television during the celebration on the main event and like didn't know there was going to be another little small segment, you might have missed this completely.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where paying attention isn't going to get you any points because there's no continuity in stories.
None. No one knows what the hell's going on.
Yeah, like if I were watching and I was thinking about it, I go, well, let's go back to the past of the shows and watch and go, oh, well, maybe it's Charmel, Booker's wife, and then Jason Jordan is his kid. I don't know. You could do that.
So these are.
Mm-hmm. I think it revolves around Bailey.
That's a popular theory.
That would make the Corey Graves involvement make sense.
That is a popular theory. I will tell you the Bailey thing, where Bailey could be his illegitimate daughter. That is gaining popularity. It could also explain why Kurt Angle was so protective of Bailey at Extreme Rules, right? Mm-hmm. That he knew this all along, but wasn't going to say anything. So it could be that Bailey is the star. Now, the problem I have with that, okay, is if he was talking to Bailey on the phone,
No, he wasn't. He was talking to the mom.
All right. And who's the mom going to be?
Dixie Carter. I don't know.
Well, that's ridiculous. That is who was Kurt Angle? Now, could the mom be Stephanie? Because one popular theory is that it's Stephanie McMahon. I've heard that would really be out of nowhere.
Yes, that would be out of nowhere. They could bring back up the Triple H Stephanie love triangle. And maybe that's who's, but that they're not going to make Stephanie sympathetic. And whoever he was talking to, they were sympathetic about. So I don't know. And I think it's going to disappoint. How about that?
I think it'll disappoint. Oh, maybe it'll disappoint anyone who's reading too much into it. I think they purposely made it a final segment.
The story will be disappointing because it will lack depth. It'll be for shock in some way.
There are five people that it could be, and only five. These are the only five names that Kevin Nash could have been talking to. Number one, Bailey. Number two, and I'll give you if it's someone involved with a Bailey reveal, whatever.
Okay.
It's about Bailey. Number one, about Bailey. Number two, Jason Jordan, the illegitimate son theory, just, you know, the Bailey, but with a son, could possibly be it as well. In fact, there's many prominent reporters, if you will, out there kind of teasing that it'll be Jason Jordan. So not a spoiler. Who knows? No one fucking knows what's going to happen here. But Jason Jordan could be. And could that be why Jason Jordan's been kind of kept off SmackDown lately? And they've given Chad Gable the singles matches. Okay.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Number three, Kevin Nash. Bringing the main event mafia back. Okay. Kurt Angle's got the power on Raw. He loves Kevin Nash. Who doesn't? He could be bringing Kevin Nash back. And Raw, they'll just have to deal with the repercussions. Because no one there is going to want Kevin Nash back. But Kurt Angle has the power. Kevin Nash.
You think he said, "I love you" like that to bring Kevin Nash?
I've said it many times in my dreams.
You're trolling me now. Okay, who's your four and five? Tino Sabatelli and who?
Number four. Number four. Stephanie McMahon. I think you got to put Stephanie McMahon in the list of people it could be. All right.
Yes, I agree.
And number five, Hulk Hogan. In fact, I put Hulk Hogan number one on the list. I think it's going to be Hulk Hogan. Bring Hogan back. He loves him. Who doesn't? Hulk Hogan, greatest name in the history of our great sport.
Why would it ruin his career?
Could ruin his career. He's bringing back Hulk Hogan, the guy who was unceremoniously fired from WWE, the guy who's gone through many, many embarrassing public displays of bigotry and small dickishness. I mean, Hulk Hogan is embarrassed right now, and it could ruin the career of Kurt Angle, okay?
All right. Then what does Corey Graves have to do with it?
Corey Graves was just a big Hogan fan in his youth.
Okay. That's Shelton all. Benjamin? How about that?
I don't think it's going to be Shelton. I thought about that. I think there's 0% chance it is
Here's the only reason I considered it Shelton Benjamin was because, remember, Stephanie had that, we're going to write more gay characters for our show, and there's a relationship between Kurt and Shelton that they bring on to try and pander somehow. I don't know. I am dreading this segment. I really am.
Yeah. Seriously, though, who would you, if I gave you $50 and I said, bet it wisely. It's not even your money. You just want to put it on the one you think will get you the biggest return. Who do you think is going to be the reveal on Monday?
Stephanie McMahon.
I will go with Jason Jordan. Okay. I think there's a lot to the Jason Jordan aspect. If they want to make him somewhat of a big singles star, you put him on Raw, you get Kurt Angle behind him. It could explain the distance Chad Gable and Jason Jordan have had on SmackDown to the point where they haven't mentioned American Alpha much at all in the last 3 months.
No, that's true, but they put him on TV, which in that stupid battle royal that they did, which drove me a bit nuts.
Well, you got to use him. You got to use the guy.
What are the chances it's just Gable and that they're making this singles push?
I think that's too easy.
And then they'll bring him over as like the free agent or some other.
Well, I think they're bringing Jason Jordan over in that rate, you know, in that regard.
And who would be the mom? Charmel?
Well, I don't know who the mom would be. I don't know if we'll get a mother.
Booker,
I don't know if we'll get a mother.
He was texting Corey so that Booker went.
Why does it have to be Charmel?
Because she was an on-screen character and would bring you know, life to the product. I don't know.
Okay. I don't buy that one. I don't buy it.
And because of the former angle between Angle and Sharmell during the Attitude Era.
Yeah. I think Jason Jordan. I think that's what we're going to see. But who knows?
I'd be fine. I'd be fine, but I think that's a go nowhere angle.
All you people who hang out the airports, you know, text us if you see Kevin Nash. Because I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope it's Kevin Nash.
I would be the one that would interest me most would be Hogan.
Oh, that'd be hyped.
On the same week where one federation suspends their champion, WWE brings their disgraced former mascot back.
Yeah. You would love that, wouldn't you?
I don't think he'd be received positively.
Do we have
not by the crowd, but by the zeitgeist media punditry.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's big words.
Oh, that was a big word. It has the letter Z in it, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it has some other things in it as well. What else from Ron's? Oh, you know what? I have a question for you.
Cass? Are we going to go there? Yeah.
Are we going to go Cass? No, he's tall. He should be the next world champion because he's tall.
Mm.
Why does he feel he can win the world title? Because he's tall. Jeff.
My only note was that promo didn't kick in until three quarters of the way through when Big Show came out and Cass was actually angry. Other than that, he's getting some poor coaching, but go ahead.
Poor coaching. I was going to go into something else. Braun Strowman.
Go for it.
Braun Strowman was walking away from his attack by Roman Reigns with the ambulance. He was limping ever so gingerly, but he was going off on his own. Now, we did not see him on Raw. WWE came out with a statement saying that he is alive. Okay. He's not dead. My question, though, is with the Drifter pretty much not drifting around, Elias Samson just wrestling and working steadily on the Raw brand, and Braun Strowman just kind of wandering the deserts of Texas, injured, hopefully still alive, but no one really knows for sure. Is Braun Strowman now the Drifter?
Walking the earth like Kane from Kung Fu?
I mean, yes. If Braun Strowman just showed up on SmackDown next week on Tuesday, just like dehydrated and super tanned, you know, sunburnt basically, and is dizzy, he doesn't know really where he is, and just starts showing up on different shows as he makes his way back to Raw, like, that would be a Drifter gimmick this world can get behind.
Mm. Does he stumble through the crowd or down the ramp during Raw, during the Joe Roman Reigns match?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, which one?
Both.
Crowd or music? Okay.
Crowd. Crowd, he's just wandering around. Like, how did he even get in the building? He doesn't have a ticket. He's almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he wanders around like this. Someone needs to explain it to me. I hope he's not off TV for long. I want him back.
I think you're getting him back next. You're getting him next week.
Well, I hope so. I can't miss me anymore, Braun. Kevin Owens is not the U.S. champion anymore. AJ Styles is. We got John Cena and Rusev going at it on Battleground. Is John Cena going to wrestle a Raw guy on SummerSlam, or is he going to be wrestling a SmackDown guy? And who could that be?
Ooh, I think it might be.
Because right now
Do you think they're doing Reigns Lesnar at SummerSlam, or do you think they're holding it off?
Well, it looks like, because we got Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns in a number one contendership match. Go figure. Two guys, by the way, who lost on the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Joe Cena.
Ooh, Joe Cena.
There you go.
That's
my
interesting one. I didn't even think of that one. That's a good call. What if, maybe if you do have Kevin Owens win the U.S. title from AJ and then you do Owens and Cena, or maybe you do AJ and Cena in the dream match again, if you will. There are some other options. I don't know how likely they are.
I want a new Kevin Owens gimmick, by the way, based on his Twitter from today. Did you see that tweet he did?
I did not. Explain it to me.
Okay, he says... let me get up the exact tweet because I can't, but with time. But basically, that he's going to win his title back, and he's going to do it for the children.
Oh, which children?
I want Kevin Owens, hero of the children, not only the face of America, but hero to children everywhere, like Gamera, the giant turtle. That's what I want.
Kevin Owens on July 11th tweeted, "Tonight I begin my path to reclaiming my title and promise to everyone, but more importantly, the children, that yes. I will get it back."
Hero to children everywhere, Kevin Owens. Come on.
He is the hero to children. Anything else from Raw and SmackDown really get your goat this weekend?
No, I thought Mojo did a good job.
Mojo Rawley, man. I mean, you're telling him he's being a serious guy now, at least.
Yeah, he is great at being. He's better at being a serious guy than he is that goofy hype dude.
Like, what I'm worried about now is that he's going to go too maniacal. Like, he's going to do the Samoa Joe facial expressions, and he's going to be like super evil guy when he finally turns on Zach. I just want him to be this evil. Mojo.
When he goes evil, they're going to make him chew scenery. That's going to be, ooh, no. This is, but for right now, let's just enjoy it for what it is. Now, the only other thing from WWE overall was that caught my interest is Mae Young starting this week.
Mae Young, the tournament is being taped on Thursday and Friday. We will know the semifinalists, I believe, after 2 days. We will know who those are. The tapings don't start airing until late August into September. So it'll be a while before we get to see any of it. But yeah, very interesting. They're taping NXT as we speak right now.
Some new good names, too. I thought Deonna Purrazzo, possibly. Trifecta, which I think is one of the better heel stables in wrestling.
I think you're going to get some surprises. I mean, there's going to be, and there might be one or two that haven't even been mentioned yet. You're going to get some people.
You're going to get some people, but you're also, it's one of those things where I'm like, even though you're great on the indies, don't get your hopes up that they're going to make a run in this tournament.
Oh, right.
Much like the CWC. This is a tournament to find someone in the WWE mold, meaning probably blonde.
And a contracted wrestler will win the tournament, much like TJP yes. did over Zack Sabre. Yes. A yes. contracted wrestler will win.
Kota Ibushi, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, the first round isn't going to be anything too special. It never is. The first round of the CWC was awful. You had the one good match. You had the was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa the first rounder?
Ciampa Gargano, yes. Yeah. Yes, because that was the beginning of the heel turn. That was the second beat of the heel turn.
Yeah, a heel turn that happened 1 year later, basically.
Yeah, well, they held off on it because they didn't have any tag.
I know. It started early. Yeah, it was fine. But it'll be interesting. You know, don't go in with super hyped expectations. I think WWE's yes. actually done a really good job of trying not to make it, you know, out mm-hmm. to be this great, big, huge thing ever. And some people are actually detracting from WWE for that. Like, why aren't we getting the hype for the Mae Young Classic as much as we did for the Cruiserweight Classic? I think they're trying to curtail expectations because it's not, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic kind of didn't live up to the hype. You know, the first couple of weeks until you had the finals, and the finals was really good. I don't think they want to make that part of the mistake again. They don't want to hype this up as, you know, history in the making and the biggest thing ever for not just women's wrestling, but wrestling. Like, they don't want to overhype it so it is disappointing. You're not going to be able to see it for a month. They want people to watch it. So they want it to go above expectations.
And also, I don't think they want people necessarily doing what they did with the CWC to look up guys that they didn't know so that they can crap on them or to get overhyped by them. You know, this guy is the biggest, you know, they may change a few names in here. They may change
every name.
Well, of the non-contract people, just to get away from their indie reputation so that if they say beat Tessa Blanchard first round, which could possibly happen, because she's been on NXT TV before, then people aren't going, "Oh, she's so great in Shimmer," or whatever. I think I'm fairly positive on two of the four finalists, and one's going to be either Daria or Macy Estrella. So I just that's yeah.
What'd you think about GLOW episode 2?
I loved it. I absolutely loved this episode. This episode, It worked for me on a number of different levels. The story to me was great. From a self-referential point of view, as a quote-unquote acting teacher, it was great. How are we doing these reviews? Are we going over plot in any ways?
Just say what you like. Say what you think is, because you're coming at it from a different perspective as I've seen the entire season. You are going episode by episode.
Okay.
So I want you to talk about what you liked about this episode and what you see for the future and why people should watch it. or not watch it.
So the promoter, Mark Maron, goes to try and recruit Allison Brie's friend who came down to fight her because she was sleeping with her husband.
This was the climax to episode one. The climax to episode one was, you have Allison Brie and Debbie, right? The Debbie character. They were fighting. Yes. Allison Brie was sleeping with Debbie's husband. She finds out. They're in the ring catfighting and fighting and wrestling, grappling around in the middle of this ring. And Mark Maron is staring at this like, I see money in this. This is what I want. This is what I want. So he has to recruit Debbie, who is a soap opera star on this show Glow. Soap opera star. I can get a famous person. This is the name for my show. He leaves the building where all these women are training to be wrestlers for this TV show. He leaves to go recruit Debbie. And right. Ruth doesn't know what the hell's going to go on. Ruth doesn't even know if she's on the show.
Allison Brie.
Allison Brie's character. There you go.
Yes. And Cherry is left to train them while he's gone. So that scene in the kitchen with Maron and Debbie, where the response of, You're blowing smoke up my ass, aren't you? And he goes, yes, just matter-of-factly, yes, but I still want you. I mean that part. He was so perfectly slimy and desperate in that, and not even playing desperate, just being smarmy about getting her into being part. I absolutely loved that, and I loved when he got back the entire scene to impress her of side coaching the Melrose, Melanie Rosen character. Melrose is a famous street out here. That's one of the things you guys who don't live in Southern California know, is that a lot of famous characters are named after streets in LA just because they try and think of names that way. So Melrose has overheard all this information from the producer and Cherry about a miscarriage from Cherry's past. So she brings that to the ring. And then Maron just goes up and goes, okay, now let's break this down as if it were real and if it were a protagonist. And this is what acting coaches do. This is what I do in improv, where someone comes up with some stupid premise and they're just playing it for laughs and everybody's kind of like, all right, you're just going for cheap heat on a comedy stage. This is what I do. This is okay, let's get an emotion. Now verbalize it. Now do, yeah, and let's make it more real. How would we ground this? At that popped me huge just because of my knowledge coming in from being an improv teacher for so this many years. And the other thing that really, really got me was Allison Brie's absolute the devastation that she's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Because she's trying so hard.
There are so many actors, and I've gone through this myself, where look, a lot of the parts I go for, I don't know. Oh, I did this on Fightful. I talked about this. A lot of the parts I go out for, serial killers, creepy guys, child molesters. I've had a lot of those. I just have these because I have that look that everybody goes, oh, no, you're going to be the creepy, weird guy that we either make fun of or turns out being a serial killer. So I get that quite a bit. You can't take it personally. And just the perfect line from Maron, the devil gets all the good lines. I'm like, yes, that's acting in a nutshell. You're acting, stupid.
Yes.
Don't take it personally.
That's what I really liked on this show, because here Ruth is as wanting to be this serious actor and she wants to get acting roles. And she knows, the very first scene, I think it's the very first scene of season of the episode one of the pilot episode, is her in an audition reading for the male boss part on purpose, even though she was supposed to be, reading for the secretary. She wants to be the powerful one. She wants to be the good guy. And that's what you have throughout this season, or at least the first half of the season that you'll see, is she's kind of nervous about being the bad guy because she doesn't want to be hated. She doesn't want to be portrayed badly.
You know who she is? She's Lisa Simpson.
Right. Because it's an interesting dynamic, because she's doing this TV show, but at the same time, it's starting to be real to her. Like she is the wrestler. It's not a character she's playing. She has to be continuously told she's playing a character, even though she's the serious actor.
Well, not only that, she's being told she's playing a character while all her coworkers keep calling her homewrecker. So it's being driven in that, yes, she really is a bad person for doing this because she is really a bad person for doing that. But at the same time, she doesn't. Her image of herself is so high that she can't get over that. I loved her. I loved the Melanie Rosen character. She is so deliciously sociopathic.
Yeah,
that's, oh my god, she is so coming in with the limo, just taking her shoes, using every single piece of information that she had against Cherry. That character. I howled at this episode. I did not expect to like this episode as much as I did, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, if you weren't falling in love with the show in the first episode, the second episode, it gets you and it keeps going. They go by quick. I mean, you're two episodes in. I mean, you do not expect them to end when they end. Have you noticed that yet?
They end about the time I think they will.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that it ends before. There were some episodes here, and maybe it wasn't episode two. Maybe tell me if you ever get to that point where an episode ends and you're like, holy shit, was that it?
That would not shock me because Netflix shows do that with me.
They do.
They do, because the weird thing about network television is everything needs to be wrapped up in a tiny bow week after week for a lot of, I mean, you get the minor subplots that are forwarded, but overall everything is wrapped up neat. And the way that Netflix does their business in terms of binge watching, they don't need to wrap it up neat. They can do it on a, you know, they could just cut it mid sentence and go, you know, go on. No, I'm going to just take it week to week, and I get expectations up per se, because there's still a few clunky ish. Like the Bree character is a little bit too self-aware that she's in the past to me, in terms of being this feminism, you know, kind of thing. Even though that did exist back then, but it's a little bit too powerful for the time, I think, at times. But I really like this show a lot. There's a lot of archetypes that I run into quite a bit here in Los Angeles.
You can download the show at voicesofwrestling.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio now, if you are unaware. Just search Shake Them Ropes on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. Follow Jeff at CrapGame13. Follow myself at Shake Them Ropes. Only one poll this week. You can vote at our polls at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. Jeff, have you ever Googled which way should your fans blow? 88% say no.